नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 11। श्री हिरण्यकशिपुर्वाच व्यक्तं त्वां मर्तुकामोऽसि यो अतिमात्रं विकथसे मुमूर्षुनामि मन्दात्मान् ननुस्युर्विक्लवागिरः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Hiranyakashipu replied, "You rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you are better than me at controlling the senses. This is over intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands. For this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged by those about to die." Purport: It is said in Hitopadesh, Upadesho hi murkhanam prakopaya na shantaye. If good instructions are given to a foolish person, he does not take advantage of them, but becomes more and more angry. Prahlad Maharaj's authorized instructions to his father were not accepted by Hiranyakashipu as truth. Instead, Hiranyakashipu became increasingly angry at his great son, was a pure devotee. This kind of difficulty always exists when a devotee preaches Krishna consciousness to persons like Hiranyakashipu, who are interested in money and women. The word Hiranya means gold and Kashipu refers to cushions or good bedding. Moreover, a father does not like to be instructed by his son, especially if the father is a demon. Prahlad Maharaj's Vaishnava preaching to his demonic father was indirectly effective. For because of Hiranyakashipu's excessive jealousy of Krishna and his devotee, he was inviting Narsingdev to kill him very quickly. Thus he was expediting his being killed by the Lord himself. Although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he is described here with the added word Shri. Why? The answer is that fortunately, he had such a great devotee son as Prahlad Maharaj. Thus, although he was a demon, he would attain salvation and return home back to Godhead. Om Shri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha Vyaktam Tvam, you rascal, you are trying to minimize my... So here, after Prahlad Maharaj is trying to give a last attempt to change the mind of Hiranyakashipu, and he tries to give him good instructions by telling that you have to conquer your senses, which is the basic instruction. The Prabhupada often said that yoga means to control the mind and senses. So he was telling to Hiranyakashipu to do yoga. And actually he had done, he was a perfect yogi, Hiranyakashipu. He was very good at controlling the senses when actually some time ago, when he was trying to perform those austerities. But this time, Hiranyakashipu has lost all control over his self. And he has given to this very wicked anartha of anger. And in this anger, he is not able to discriminate that he is chastising and is threatening his own son to be killed by him at his hands. And Srila Prabhupada mentions the contemporary value of this pastime. And Srila Prabhupada says that this kind of difficulty always exists when a devotee preaches Krishna consciousness to persons like Hiranyakashipu. And probably everyone in this material existence is after women and money. And Srila Prabhupada was spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, and he was facing so much difficulties and oppositions. As this movement was spreading all over the world, Srila Prabhupada was traveling somewhere in Australia, and the Sydney and Melbourne temples were flourishing like never before, and many devotees were going on Harinam every day chanting on the streets. And it was becoming such a regular affair at the Hiranyakashipu's awakened. Like, you have to do something tangible to get the attention of Hiranyakashipus. Just like you have to do something really radical to attain the mercy of, to attract the attention of Krishna. Right? So if you don't preach vigorously, if you don't spread the holy name vigorously, then probably there will not be any opposition from any counters. But if the movement is spreading genuinely, all obstacles will start coming. And therefore, when the devotees were on the peak of their preaching, this policeman came and the city council started arresting the devotees. They started arresting all the devotees and started putting them in jail for causing disturbance and nuisance to the in public places. In fact, this was Srila Prabhupada's main contention when in Jhu, when the devotees were performing Harinam in the temple. And this was, you can imagine the difference between Australia and India. Australia is supposed to be a convent nation, a Christian-based religion, and devotees were chanting on streets. Here devotees in Jhu were chanting in temple, and the city municipal, same municipal commissioner, called this kirtan as nuisance. And Srila Prabhupada took this word kirtan as nuisance and started blasting and said, I never mind if their kirtan was loud. They could have told that it is a little loud and is causing a little disturbance. But if they called it nuisance, this is really worth condemning. And Srila Prabhupada took this word kirtan as nuisance and started saying, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, satatam kirtayantuma. And they are telling it is nuisance. And Srila Prabhupada was really wild. Here in Sydney, devotees were getting arrested and they were putting in jail. They were putting them to mild tortures, putting them in a very dark prison cell, smelling of urine and vomit. Ladies were put on a cold bench and then they were fining them. And then Srila Prabhupada was sent a report and Srila Prabhupada was asked, what to do? Should we take a lawyer and defend ourselves, our case and position? We can go to the city council and then all things happened and Srila Prabhupada wrote back. Srila Prabhupada said, we should continue with our chanting and Harinam in the streets. Do not spend money on lawyers, courts and judges. Our principle is simple. Even if they imprison us, they put us in jail, you chant in jail also and continue this Harinam unabatedly. And devotees were inspired by Srila Prabhupada's letter, this instruction. And they all started, all of them who were caught, they started doing Harinam in the jail, fasting. And reports, they were all chanting in the jail. And next day, a few days later, reports splashed up in the newspapers. Hare Krishna chants heard in jail too. And Hari Hari being resounded in the Australian prisons. And similarly, all over the places, they started that in jail also, they are all chanting now. So this evoked the sympathy of the Australian citizens and they all started writing letters to the editor. And how is that? We are all busy. We are in our own world. We are running this fast world. And these people are serene. They are coming, chanting and remembering and giving us remembrance of God. Such a nice thing. Why don't we allow that? And then such very encouraging responses came from quarters of the Australian citizens. And then the devotees were given the right to chant publicly on streets. So we find that such difficulties, such Hiranyakashipus would always be keep coming. But Srila Prabhupada said, our simple formula is to go on chanting Swarga api narkeshu api tulyat darshina. That a devotee does not mind where he is in. He is in heaven or hell. He is in temple or jail. He will continue to chant Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, why such a devotee can do that? if he continues to develop these qualities, trinad api suni chena taror eva sahishna. Srila Prabhupada mentioned, one should become humble and tolerant. If you develop these qualities, it is very easy. Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. And Srila Prabhupada said to one of his devotees sometime that if you have difficulty from some people criticizing and something like that, you give all praise to that person. You praise him. You praise him so much that he becomes so full with praise that he will not bother you. Right? Because everyone wants some respect, some recognition. So he said, you become humble, you glorify him, tolerate him, and you just praise him. Automatically he will not disturb you. So you can continue your chanting peacefully. What is the harm in giving praise and credit to others when you can chant peacefully? The cost is very less. The price of remembering Krishna is very less compared to the value that it brings. And therefore here also, Prahlad Maharaj is very straightforward, is humble, is folding his hand and saying that you are a fool. Right? He's not speaking in a very harsh manner. But in fact, Hiranyakashipu has become harsh. So, we find that here, in fact, Srila Prabhupada also mentions one more point, which says that the father does not like to be instructed by his son. Right? This is typical of everyone, all those youngsters who came to Krishna consciousness. And immediately when devotees, young students, when they come to learn about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and they start practicing sincerely, they start getting the adhikara to preach to their parents. They feel that they have got the adhikara to preach to their parents and they give such good instructions, not knowing what happened in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not studying that seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, one gets the same reaction as Hiranyakashipu gave it to Prahlad Maharaj. Sometimes stopping them from practicing Krishna consciousness, sometimes from really going to temple, and sometimes blaspheming, and so many other incidences. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here that in fact Hiranyakashipu was inviting his own death by this. And Narsingdev would kill him very quickly. And therefore he is given respectable honor, Sri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha. His fortune was decided at the birth of his son. Such is the glory of having a devotee in a family, a pure devotee. So, this has a little connection with Krishna Leela too. So, because today is the most auspicious occasion of Radha Krishna, Radha Govind Jhulan Yatra. It's the time to enter Vrindavan, this time that the Lord ships Radha and Krishna, the divine couple seated in the kunjas. Very esoteric description given by Sri Kavi Karnapur. Sometimes people, when they read these descriptions of the beauty of Sri Vrindavan and how everyone, including the sun, the moon, the trees, they're all exuding nectar. The moon was spreading these beams of jewel-like lighting the kunjas. They were reflecting the perfect shade of moonlight to the jhulan. So it becomes very difficult for a conditioned soul who is filled with envy to digest such a glorification of Krishna. How can Krishna enjoy so much? And therefore sometimes, as I mean, presenting this seminar is based on Devamitan Swami Maharaj's book Searching for Vedic India. This is how actually all the people like scholars, Indologists and scientists, they want to discredit because they are full of envy. They cannot tolerate descriptions of a great city like Dwarka filled with emeralds and jewels. Said how, even if it is true, how can someone enjoy? And therefore they try to discredit as being mythology. So these are the various kinds of Hiranyakashipus in our modern societies, filled with envy. But nevertheless, what do the devotees of Krishna do? They keep on glorifying Krishna. Despite, it is said, the dog is cursing the, or the vulture is cursing the cow, that let it die, right? It's cursing so that actually it can eat that cow, the dead body. The cow does not die because of the curse of the vulture. Similarly, the demons will try to stop, will try to impede the progress of the Krishna consciousness movement. But if the devotees are sincerely chanting Hare Krishna and they are developing these qualities of humility and tolerance, the caravan shall pass ahead while the onlookers will keep on looking. And therefore, the more the opposition, the more the intensity should increase. And one of the nice shlokas is given that sometimes a lion is attacked by different elephants, and the lion is very, very strong, and it actually attacks all these elephants and defeats all of them. In fact, with each defeat of each elephant, the lion gets more power. It is said the lion gets nourished by defeating these elephants. Similarly, a devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness, when he faces these obstacles, with each obstacle he gets nourishment to progress more in Krishna consciousness. And that is what Prahlad Maharaj is doing. With every opposition of Hiranyakashipu, with every torture that Hiranyakashipu has given him, he is becoming more convinced in Krishna consciousness. So it is the other way, either we give up in one situation or we completely transcend that situation. Because the situation will not change, we will have to transcend that situation. So, similarly, this killing of Hiranyakashipu is going to be undertaken soon. We are just approaching the grand finale, the killing of Hiranyakashipu, the great battle. So here it is, connection to Krishna Leela is that there was a demon. There was a demon named Sahasika. He was enjoying with 10,000 women on the Mount Gandhamadho. And he was creating so much of furor and so much of noise and disturbance. Again, that was disturbance because he was not doing kirtan. That was real nuisance. There's a difference. And then Durvas Muni was performing tapasya close by. So you can imagine that something must have happened because of these two people nearby. One creating disturbance and another performing meditation. So Durvas Muni became angry. And he cursed this demon, Sahasika, because you are disturbing and you are enjoying unrestrictedly, you become an ass. You become an ass, an ass demon, and after 400,000 years, that is 4 lakh years, right? That means must be just Dwapar Yuga in one sense. After 4 lakh years, the middle of Dwapar Yuga, that you will be liberated by Lord Balram. Why? Because demon Sahasika was born in the family of Bali Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj. And he was born in the lineage of Prahlad Maharaj, and therefore Krishna had, in fact, Prahlad Maharaj was given benediction that I will not kill. Lord Vishnu had given the benediction that I will not kill any one of your family members. So Balaram is different from Krishna in the sense that they are both the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, but except with the exception of the color. Balaram is fair, beautiful, white complexion, and Krishna is dark like rain cloud. And then we find that this demon becomes Dhenukasur in Krishna Leela. And this beautiful killing of Dhenukasur is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can describe a little bit about how Krishna and Balaram enjoyed. They were enjoying the wonderful pastimes of herding cows from the age of 6 to 10. When they reached the age of 6, they were given the charge of cows because they had experience with tending the calves. And sometimes it is often very much, parents feel very much protective over for the kids. Oh, he should not be given so much responsibility now. He's such young, he cannot do so much. But in Vrindavan, they were happy to give responsibility to Krishna of the cows. And that was a celebration in Vrindavan. And that was Gopastami, the 8th day of the Kartik month. And there was a huge festival, Gopastami, where Krishna would be officially given the charge of the cows. And now Krishna and Balaram were now free to move deep in the pastures of Vrindavan. And as they would be performing their daily pastimes, Krishna would be killing demons all the time. And it was a regular event. And this time, they were all walking through this forest of Vrindavan, and Krishna was in a very... In fact, that was... Krishna entered the mood of a Dhira Lalit. Now that he had become... In fact, all the bodily features of Krishna changed very drastically. So much so that actually it was explained that this is the beginning of the Purva Rag of the gopis. The gopis started now becoming attracted to Krishna. In fact, the qualities of Dhir Lalit are that Krishna is a youthful hero. He has a joking mood. He is free from all kinds of anxiety. And he is fun lover. And that's typically the kind of qualities every young man wants. Right? He attracts all the devotees in all the rasas. He now is capable of is engaging in all kinds of relationships with all of his devotees and satisfy them completely. And this is how actually gopis start developing affection, start loving relationship with Krishna. And Krishna now has chubby cheeks and a beautiful face like a fruit of a creeper which is not yet ripened. One fruit is explained which is not yet ripened but it is yet tasty. So Krishna's beautiful face was not ripened completely. He didn't manifest his youthful symptoms completely. Just the beginning. But his beautiful face attracted all the residents of Vrindavan. And it's this time Nand Maharaj decided to perform Nandotsav. That is again an Abhishek ceremony after 5 years. Right? In fact, this pastime is eternally conducted in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And Krishna was bathed with beautiful waters, washed with linen cloth. Dresses were so beautiful and showered with flowers. And this was the month of Pausha, where seasonal flowers in the spring are offered to Krishna. And Govindpur was mentioning in one of the classes that, of course, this is Pushya Abhishek, is, of course, the flower Abhishek that we offer is actually the month of Pausha, which is relating to Pushya and not the flowers, but flowers are offered in the month of Pausha. And therefore, these flowers, it is a custom that one must offer seasonal fruits, flowers to the deities. Otherwise, it is considered to be a deficiency in Archa Puja. So, whatever there is, seasonal fruits or flowers are available, one must offer them to Krishna. So, it is said that even the demigods also require such seasonal offerings. And if you worship these demigods and you offer them seasonal offerings like this, then probably you will go to the illuminating planets. But if you offer simply a seasonal flower to Krishna in a particular season, then you go home back to Godhead, Golok Vrindavan. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. So Krishna is saying, offer me a flower and in season you offer me a seasonal variety. And what is the result of that? One goes on back to Godhead. So there were huge feasts for everything. Rohini Devi was cooking. Krishna was simply accepting gifts from everyone. They were all offering gifts to Krishna. And the gopis came with no gifts. But their gifts were the glances that they were offering as gifts. And then Krishna came up. And now he was ready to enter the forest of Vrindavan. And actually, now his lotus feet were now decorated with visible 21 auspicious marks, imprints. And now, as Krishna was walking on the forest, on the dust of Vrindavan, everyone could see the clear marks, 21 marks, auspicious marks. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of his Bhagavatam purports, there are still devotees in Vrindavan, in the Braj Mandal, we are staying very far off, secluded in the Braj Mandal. And what is their daily routine? They go out every day to search for Krishna's footprints. Why? Because none of the residents of Vrindavan would ever stamp on Krishna's lotus imprints in Vrindavan. Even the cows were careful. The cows were careful not to supersede the footprints. Therefore, these devotees, they are still in ecstasy, searching after Krishna. And this is ecstasy of a devotee. He just searches Krishna. He just is in search of Krishna, gives so much ecstasy. What to speak of actually attaining Krishna? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, we are actually liberated right now. Only that we don't realize it. So, this is how Krishna actually would go. And this time Krishna and Balaram entered the forest of Vrindavan. And they were seeing the trees beautifully decorated with various flowers. And they are all bending very low. And this time Krishna came in the mood of glorifying Balaramji. And Balaramji was glorified. And he said, these are all trees giving you respect, offering you, they're all offering you humble obeisances, right? And he glorified the beautiful forest of Vrindavan. And in this way, Lord Krishna addresses Balaram as Anaga. And he says, you are Anaga, that means you are not capable of committing any sinful activities or sinful reactions, can never touch you, or your actions are actually not like an ordinary human being. And then he says that, in the specific context of the verse, he says, Anaga means that Lord Balaram, in fact, the Lord immediately excuses the sin or the offense committed by a sincere devotee and who may accidentally deviate from the Lord's service. That is the meaning of Anaga. And also, that there are so many humming bees following Lord Balaram. And another word of Anaga is explained by the Acharyas, that the Lord said that these bees, and the Lord was, Balaram was not disturbed by the humming bees who were constantly following Lord Balaram, and therefore he is called as Anaga. So then the gopas, this time there was no demon who was coming. So the gopas actually wanted Krishna to kill a demon this time, because there was no voluntary effort of a demon coming to Krishna and then fighting with him. So the gopas were missing this part of the daily affair. So they said, in the eastern direction of the forest of Vrindavan, there is a place called Talavan, where there is a lot of tala fruits suspended, and they are hanging on the trees, but no one is able to enjoy those fruits. So please, we want to enjoy those fruits. Now the gopas' request to Krishna was simply because they actually wanted to give Krishna pleasure. They didn't want to eat the fruits. They wanted to see Krishna engaging in killing this demon, and in this way, enjoying the company of his coward friends. So they said that we want to go and eat these fruits. So Krishna and Balaram then proceeded to this forest along with the gopas, and immediately Lord Balaram goes and sees the beautiful forest with all the tala fruits, and violently shakes one of the trees, making a huge sound with all the tala fruits falling like rain, enough to awaken Dhenukasura. This is what devotees need to do, to perform devotional service, to chant so loudly that they awaken the demons. Of course, rather than awakening the demons, it's actually liberating the demons. Because even if they hear the word Krishna, they become purified. And because the holy name is so powerful, it acts like a perfect antidote for envy. And this way, Balaramji was ready. And this time Krishna came in front of Balaramji and started to confront Dhenukasura. In fact, it is mentioned that Krishna first took a wheel, took a hand at Dhenukasura and he wheeled Dhenukasura across. But this time he did not die. But then he realized, if I just go on ahead, I will be breaking the promise made to my devotee Prahlad. So let Balaramji take over. So Balaramji came and Balaramji whirled Dhenukasura, wheeled him so fast that in complete vacuum he lost his breath and he lost his life and was wheeled so far above in the top of the tall trees that he fell on the top of the tall trees and the tall tree started just breaking away, slided, and it caused the whole falling of all the nearby tall trees and the whole forest was finished. All the tall trees were on the ground with all the fruits along with, and again all the demons started coming. As you will find, Hiranyakashipu was killed. Then they did not find that, okay, Hiranyakashipu is of such a powerful demon, he got killed by Narasingha, what we can do? But they still charge all the demonic army of Hiranyakashipu. Similarly, the demonic army of Dhenukasura and all his associates started attacking Krishna and Balaram, and then Krishna and Balaram took one of them alternately and then they finished the lot. So everything was played, the blood, the tall trees, the tall fruits, and now they cannot eat the fruits now because they are contaminated now. So sometimes it is thought that, okay, they went all the way to eat fruits actually and then they could not eat it, so their attempt was unsuccessful. It could be said that, but acharyas comment that when they entered the forest of Vrindavan, the Talvan, just by smelling the fruits fragrance, they were completely satisfied and they were now not interested in eating them. So Vrindavan is such a beautiful place that every sense, each sense can be completely satisfied by the atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And therefore each of the senses is capable of being attracted by Sri Vrindavan and by the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. So then there is no need to become overly attracted to the mundane pleasures of the senses. So, in fact, this Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this demon Dhenukasura as the anartha representing the gross ignorance of spiritual knowledge or materialistic intelligence and lack of subtle discrimination. And he explains that only two demons were killed by Lord Balaram. We are approaching Balaram Jayanti soon. Actually, this is a prayer. This should be a constant meditation. That two demons only were killed by Balaramji. One was Dhenukasura and one was Pralambasura. Dhenukasura represents the anartha of gross materialistic intelligence or lack of subtle discrimination. And Pralambasura represents intoxication by lust or desire for lust. And both of these demons specifically killed by Balaramji to indicate that these demons will be killed by Lord Balaram only when there is a specific endeavor by the devotee to thwart or to overcome these anarthas. And these two contaminations will not be removed by anything but one's personal endeavors to attract the mercy of Lord Balaram. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that, in fact, commentary is mentioned that also Dhenukasura had so many tal fruits, but he would not allow anyone to enjoy them. Right? He did not eat himself, he was eating flesh of humans and animals, and so much tal fruits were not being eaten. Similarly, these demons who are not able to understand Vaishnava teachings do not appreciate them and do not allow others to practice them. Right? And this is attitude is possessed by thick-headed people like Hiranyakashipu. He did not practice bhakti, not allowed Prahlad Maharaj to practice. So, also this is the attitude of a class of devotees who are mechanical approach to Krishna consciousness. Right? Take this process of Krishna consciousness as a part of a mechanical process. And they therefore do not appreciate the value of the ultimate attainments of it. In fact, Sachinanda Maharaj was explaining that this Balaramji represents the plough. In fact, takes a plough and he moves these anarthas with a plough. And plough is very painful. Any instruction coming from the spiritual master which is attacking the false ego is like that plow. It gives pain. And that is Balaramji. And he was explaining that for one devotees who actually do not take up Krishna consciousness seriously, cultivating these material desires, are actually wasting time in the Hare Krishna movement. And he was saying that we have to really endeavor, otherwise Balaramji or spiritual master cannot just help. One devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, please save me, please save me. One person came. Srila Prabhupada said, I will give the process how to save yourself, but I will not come to save you. So this Dhenukasura represents one of this. And in fact, the only way to weed out this anartha is to pray and consciously try to avoid the pitfalls on the path of devotional service caused by these anarthas. And in this way, by consciously praying daily for the mercy of Lord Balaramji, the spiritual master whose representation is, and this way the Lord will come to the rescue. So this is the wonderful pastime of Lord Balaramji, a meditation for the upcoming appearance of Lord Balaram. We can pray that we may constantly try to execute our Krishna consciousness without, despite all oppositions, despite all difficulties. Chant Hare Krishna, try to consciously avoid. Srila Rupa Goswami gave all the rules and regulations, but it is said that if we don't have proper discrimination, that is what is Dhenukasura means. We follow the letter of the law, the law of letter, but the law of spirit has to be maintained. Therefore, all the rules and regulations which are given by Srila Rupa Goswami, 64 items of devotional service, are not itself bhakti. The spirit in which this item should be executed is actually devotional service. And therefore, what is the 64 items of Krishna consciousness which is given by Srila Rupa Goswami? They are personal. They are not something mechanical. Krishna likes something, that is 64 items, and Krishna does not like something is to be avoided. So practically the 64 items are what Krishna likes and what Krishna does not like. So it is not that we perform all this devotional service because they are given by Srila Rupa Goswami. They are personal. It is personal like and dislike of Krishna. So if you do not follow this rules and regulations in the spirit, then it will be like displeasing Krishna. So therefore, not just fanatically following the rules and regulations without adhering to the spirit is also the anartha that Dhenukasura represents. So that requires constant guidance by the spiritual master and the association of devotees. And only this way we can actually overcome the pitfall represented by Dhenukasura. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.